And welcome to the Taylor Report. I sound a little remote today. I hope that it come up clear to you. This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. And today we're going to be speaking to Walter Riley, California attorney and an activist for justice. He's particularly engaged with the issue of Haiti, the ongoing crisis of that country because of the imposition by the United States of selection of leaders. Later in the show, we will be talking to Norman Otis Richmond about an important figure in our Canadian history, that would be Donald Moore, who is from Barbados. He's going to be talking about Donald Moore's role in fighting for rights of immigrants from the Caribbean and Barbados. And it will also be discussing Al Hamilton and the publication Contrast. I think we're joined by Walter Riley. Are you there, Walter?
Yes, I am, Phil. How are you?
Very good, and I'm glad to be talking to you. There's some important news from Haiti. It's often, I guess, part of the theme of talking about Haiti is it's also ignored or played down. When last time we spoke to you, there had been a massacre in November 2018. Of civilians in Haiti. And now there's a new report by the National Lawyers Guild and the Haitian Action Organization.
It's the Action Committee.
A report on La Saline. Is that the name of the community where this massacre happened?
La Saline.
Yeah, La Saline.
Now, yes, that's the one community. There are other communities. It's happening. And in various places in Haiti, but this La Saline is in Port-au-Prince. Yeah.
There's been a lot of protests, and I want to contrast it a little bit and get your opinion about this. I call it apartheid reporting. I read over the weekend that there's been a pro-democracy demonstration in Moscow. A couple of thousand people turned out. There are, of course, activity in Hong Kong, and it's reported as pro-democracy. Since the label pro-democracy is there, that means all of us are in solidarity, obviously, since we're all pro-democracy. I read about protests against the massacre, that La Saline, and also the political demand of the removal of the president of Haiti, but I don't see the label pro-democracy. But aren't those pro-democracy protests in Haiti?
These are pro-democracy protests. It's real pro-democracy. They're calling for the removal of the present government, the president and his entire government. That's been part of the struggle for years in Haiti since his election. And part of the massacres, are a tribute to the fact that large numbers of people are demonstrating, and that this particular government doesn't want to see these demonstrations occur. People on the street are saying that the massacres are connected to the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in fact massacring people who are part of a mass movement for real change in Haiti. But it's not that they're not simply ignoring these mobilizations, demonstrations, and not labeling them as pro-democracy, but the corporate media in the U.S., Canada, and much of Europe does not even recognize that these demonstrations occur. And we're talking about millions of people that are demonstrating throughout Haiti from time to time. Mm-hmm. Large uprisings. They closed down the government last year, mm-hmm. and they've closed down transportation a number of times in the past 2 years, but you don't hear about it on the nightly news networks, and you're not hearing about it in the major media on this continent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't represent the interest of U.S. State Department.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. State Department and the Canadian State Department are in lockstep regarding Haiti. Exploitation, misery, and the repression of the people.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Walter Riley, and a California lawyer. He's a activist for justice. By the way, you can find Walter Riley on Twitter. And, of course, Walter works closely with the Haitian...
Haiti Action Committee.
Haiti Action Committee.
Yes.
And others as well. The Haitian Information Project as well.
Haiti Information Project is the project I am in close contact with Kevin Pena, who is a journalist, a professor, a filmmaker, and has lived in Haiti and reports on Haiti extensively. He also, Haiti Information Project, reports and gets the message out on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this new report, if people go to the Lawyers Guild, they can find this report, right?
On the
circumstance there of the massacre. Now, by the way, they call out in the report the U.S. as a prime factor, but also the United Nations. What had the role of the United Nations been there?
Well, the United Nations moved into Haiti in 2004, right after the Lavalas government was deposed, President Aristide kidnapped and taken to the Central African Republic. The U.S. occupied Haiti for a short time with its own military. By the way, when we're talking about Haiti and we're talking about military operations, we can always be assured that the U.S., and since I'm talking to you in Toronto, Canada, have put soldiers on the ground doing the same things at the same time, supporting each other in Haiti. So is France, too. Mm-hmm. But they moved in, and the UN moved in to replace the boots and military operations of the United States in Haiti after Aristide was removed and a government was installed. By the U.S. State Department, U.S. military. The government that was installed, by the way, is called the Boca Raton government, Boca Raton being a place in Florida, and the leadership of that, those folks who came from Florida working with the U.S. State Department and overthrowing the elected government, democratically elected government in Haiti.
Yeah. And not
so
just once,
so
but
the UN has been
twice.
There as an occupation force all this time.
Mm-hmm. And they, those who committed the massacre, obviously, according as I understand this report, there was complicity on the part of the U.S. and the UN. They're aware of who is responsible for the violence and do nothing about
it.
Right?
I'm very aware of it. The report that you're referring to resulted from a delegation that went earlier this year and included the National Lawyers Guild people and folks from the media, the alternative media, Pacifica Radio. Margaret Prescott was there, did interviews of people and film. Shortly after that, for a few weeks, another delegation went to Haiti that included Maxine Waters, Congresswoman from Los Angeles, Danny Glover, Margaret Prescott again, Pierre Lavoisier, Brian Concannon from the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti, and I was there as part of that delegation. And we visited the State Department because Maxine Waters, being a congresswoman and chairing a committee, had to interview folks at the State Department. And we discussed the fact that the police in Haiti is involved. People are testifying that on the ground, giving reports that the Haitian Police Department has been involved in these massacres. People dressed in police uniforms have engaged in killing folks. People have observed folks, overheard people on telephone, cell phones being what they are today, reporting to authorities in police departments and in the Haitian government saying that they are carrying out the work and they're killing the opposition. Some of that has been reported in to human rights committees. And have observed the results of these massacres, bodies burned, people had to watch their loved ones and friends cut to pieces and thrown on in the streets, and then thrown on garbage piles where pigs and dogs ate them, and they were not able to remove those bodies. There's an iconic photograph of a woman sitting on her child's body, refusing to let the police take them, because when they take them, they desecrate the body. And she, you know, just to understand what happens when they take the bodies and use them as ways of terrorizing the people. But this terror technique has been acknowledged by the U.S. State Department in our interviews when we were there, but they haven't done anything about it. And the charge right now is to stop funding U.S. Should stop funding the police departments in Haiti, because they're not supposed to fund, give financial support to human rights abusers. But that isn't going anywhere so far, and that's the campaign that we're engaged in right now to try and bring this to light to more and more people.
It is, by the way, it seems like almost a meltdown here that is political. I read that the president, who people are demanding that he step down, he can't even name a prime minister, because even his own gang, political gang, can't agree. They were throwing their chairs on the lawn of the legislature because he was going to put somebody in. I mean, and yet from Ottawa and Washington, and nobody ever says, you know, this is a something must be done. And matter of fact, this President Moise is involved with trying to remove the elected president of Venezuela.
Yes, yes.
I guess that's why they don't want him removed.
That's part of why you haven't seen the State Department denounce him, even though he does not have support from within his own clique. And massive demonstrations have been occurring since last summer, but certainly they started when he was installed into the position. So he's had to discharge several prime ministers, and now trying to find someone else to replace the ones that have been ineffective and unacceptable to the people. The U.S. State Department does not denounce him. They are not willing to even investigate, even though human rights organizations have said that there are abuses that are occurring. This president, yes, he supports Trump. He supports the U.S. State Department around Venezuela. And he supported other programs. He's now trying to install a prime minister that is an out-and-out Trump supporter. This
Trump man in Haiti?
In Haiti, yes. Well, they're popping up all over the world, actually. They find that you can find somebody crazy in the United States White House, and there'll be other crazy people that are following him.
There's a good career to be made. A
little. Well, you know, look at, you know, the bastions of this kind of power hegemony exportation. What's happening in England, you know? Trump here in the United States, and Prime Minister in England. So this is not unexpected, I guess. You probably have seen those things, and many of your people in your audience have heard of these things before. But we can expect more violence from these kinds of outrageous government. We can certainly expect more of it in Haiti as this present government tries to hold on to its position, and at this point getting financial support and military support from the U.S. and from the United Nations. They are killing people. They are killing people. They are committing human rights abuses. And this atrocity of La Saline is being investigated more and more and coming to light. And as people raise these issues, more and more of these members of the Haitian oligarchy are starting to attack individuals and groups trying to quiet folks from raising this.
Speaking to Walter Riley, by the way, Walter Riley's on Twitter. I urge you to follow Walter. It's very interesting material there. Walter, and you could characterize this as broadly as a counter-revolution in Haiti, Venezuela, Brazil, elsewhere. There were governments You had Mr. Aristide, who really was the people's choice and is the people's choice, as far as I know, his party, Lavalas.
Yeah.
And then in places like Brazil and also Argentina, but particularly Venezuela, these were all, there were governments there trying to do something, deliver to the masses of the people. And one of those things was Petrocaribe, which was, as I understand it, that was the idea of President Chavez. Can you, and this, and that is a major issue. It is not going away in Haiti. Can you tell us tell us the story of Petrocaribe, or why the people of Haiti, how they would have benefited and perhaps may eventually benefit from it?
With the leadership of President Chavez and Venezuela, petrol oil was made available in the form of gasoline to countries in the Caribbean. And the purpose of the making the petrol oil of gasoline available was to lower the cost to those countries, therefore reducing the cost to the individuals who had to buy gasoline, buy fuel. But it provided the governments with the gasoline, and that was to be sold by the government, and that revenue would then go to the government for infrastructure, for changes, for social services in those various countries. And Haiti, the government got the petroleum monies, sold it to various folks and made tremendous profits, but none of it was ever used for infrastructure development, nor for social programs. Investigations from the Caribbean so far has determined, as of last year, the report came out that the governments of Martelly and the previous president in Haiti, installed by the Clinton during the Obama administration, and the present government, who is a protege of Martelly, president, pocketed the money.
Yeah.
We're not talking about millions or just some small billions, but, you know, the billions of dollars that they pocketed could have provided infrastructure, roads, clean water programs, drainage programs, mosquito abatement programs, and schools. Teachers are not being paid in Haiti, and this money is gone missing.
Yeah, people like to use the word oligarchy. We have a serious oligarchy in Haiti, and they just take what they can take.
They take what they can. And, you know, they're also, this oligarchy, as they might be true in oligarchies, they don't all necessarily live in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
Are not indigenous Haitians necessarily, all of them. But people who have been installed by various governments, a lot of them installed by the U.S. government, as landowners in Haiti after the U.S. invaded Haiti in 1915.
Yeah. By the way,
apropos
of your point, I mean, the Caribbean states, and people are forgetting about this, are in solidarity with Venezuela against moves by a so-called Lima group, of which Haiti Moisey is a member, because they do appreciate that Venezuela made an effort for them, and they have benefited. It's Haiti that got robbed, the people.
Haiti got robbed. The other places are supporting the Venezuelan government, the government that was part of the Hugo Chavez government, and they are in opposition to the U.S. attempt to take over and overthrow the government and the right-wing move in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
But the Moïse, the president derivation of Moses, Moïse, is a supporter of the U.S. State Department in Venezuela and has traveled and found opposition from a lot of the Caribbean states and Caribbean leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But is, again, following the needs of the U.S. State Department, and therefore he's able to get away with a lot. I think I meant to say before that some of the opposition has been very vocal about the fact that this government is a narco government, which is amazing that doesn't even come out. But as a narco government, we know that the Western powers have worked with narco governments very often in the past, and then at some point or another they get rid of it. But this government is corrupt to the core. Lots of money is being made by a small elite group. The Haitian oligarchy is very much in power right now, supporting this government. But they are still trying to figure out who's going to replace this guy, Moïse.
But
internal conflict, while they have solidarity against the vast majority of the people.
Yeah. You know that... Fortunately for history, we know the name Aristide, one of the greatest names in the region, and it is on everyone's mind. I think of Secretary of State Pompeo. He said that they're already deciding that they will take care of Mr. Corbyn. He won't become the prime minister. That's also true of Mr. Aristide, right? It could be the Haitian people cannot have Aristide. They cannot have Lavalas, according to the U.S. It just is not possible from the U.S. point of view.
That's it. That's it. And anything else in order for that to change requires a new revolutionary thinking on the part of the folks who are on the ground in Haiti, and they have already announced that they want something new. I think you've had members of the Lavalas leadership on your program before.
Yes.
I know. And I know that Lavalas has called for and gotten massive support for a proposal for there being an interim government. The term that is very popular on the street is that they must overturn the cauldron. The cauldron being the corruption, the politics of a brutal power in Haiti that's been a disaster for the people. So long, they want to overturn this entire cauldron, set up a new government, a new approach to government, and their proposal is to work with large numbers of people in a broad spectrum to figure out the practical approach to developing a new process for selecting government, a new constitution, and that's what's being worked on. That's what's being developed, changing the system in Haiti. From what it is right now, a place, a hotbed for the growth of exploitation, corruption, and violence.
Mm-hmm.
And as the people demonstrate and as the people organize against that, the violence become even greater. Leaders are being targeted and killed.
Mm-hmm.
When I was on your program last, we talked about some mercenaries that were there with a list of people that they were supposed to kill.
American mercenaries. And they walked out of the country.
They walked out of the country with the U.S. They were actually picked up by the U.S. And taken from the country after they had been captured with large amounts of expensive ammunition,
weapons,
and a list of people targeted. But they are targeting folks to kill, and these people often are leaders of the mass movement, which includes a lot of Lavalas people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Lavalas people are being killed on a regular basis. I mean, every time I am in contact with somebody on the ground, we're hearing reports of grassroots leaders, people in the neighborhoods that are being killed. And that's what happened in La Saline also. This is a community that has been long support for Lavalas. People were targeted because they were in Lavalas.
Yeah. So there's a fundamental difference. Mr. Pompeo says no Lavalas, and the people of Haiti say Lavalas. So we'll have to settle that.
That struggle will continue. Important enough to note that in this modern world of communication and solidarity campaigns, that we need to be on the lookout for supporting the people in Haiti who are on the ground struggling and trying to figure out what the differences are. I think that you and I talk a lot about who those people are. But everybody has to pay some attention. It takes a little bit more work sometimes when you have such kinds of media information that gives support to bad leadership, bad leaders, and the inability for some media outlets to distinguish in their language or discussion analysis between what is beneficial to the people and what is beneficial to American propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
So in Haiti, this struggle is the intense struggle of, that is life and death for people on a daily basis. And the life and death of the movement, this movement that we think is going to be required to save this earth from destruction, from the disasters of competition that will result from climate disaster, the deaths that will result from climate disaster, the need for changes in political structure that comes from the way we are going to be able to use our resources. And a big part of our resources are our human resources. The men, women, children, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, all the various folks that are out here living, trying to live decent lives while we struggle against oppressive materialistic philosophies and mechanisms in government. We can't survive. We are too interconnected to survive well in large numbers wherever we are, in Toronto, in the neighborhoods and the various communities that do well in the communities that are struggling daily in Toronto are connected to the people in Port-au-Prince, as they are in Washington, D.C., or Atlanta, Georgia, or Los Angeles, or San Francisco Bay, or any place.
There's an old saying,
we are connected.
Old saying that foreign policy is domestic policy. So it's
absolutely
the way the people of Washington, D.C. are treated is the way the Haitians are treated. Is definitely one battle. Walter Riley, find him on Twitter, and the Haiti Information Project, and of course the Lawyers Guild report on the massacre of La Salande. You're doing real good work, Walter. We are very grateful to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Bill. There will be more to talk about because we are in a litigation struggle right now because some members of the Haitian oligarchy is trying to shut us up.
How surprised I am. Well, I look forward to talking to you about that and very soon. Thank you very much, Walter.
Thank you, Phil.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Walter Riley, and he is a California lawyer, and he's an activist for justice, and he's worked closely on the issue of Haiti for a number of years, together with Congresswoman Waters, and actor. As soon as I say actor, I can't say, but his son is quite well known.
Danny Glover.
His son is Danny Glover.
His son is Boots Riley,
and Boots Riley.
And their mutual friend is Danny Glover.
Yes, mutual. Thank you, Phil Conant. We hadn't heard from Phil before, but that's the voice of Phil Conant. Classical Underground, Wednesday 6 to 8 o'clock. We have some Haitian music, and we will come back, say a few words, and we will be talking to Norman Otis Richmond.